Welcome to Ag Chat, a podcast brought to you by the Association of Women in Agriculture at UW-Madison. I'm very excited for the guests I have today. We're going to talk about World Dairy Expo here. We're now through that and can kind of look at each other, not in frustration anymore. So I'll just have us go around the room here. I'll start. I'm your host again for this second episode. My name is Anna. I am a senior here at UW-Madison. I'm a communications coordinator. And my involvement in World Dairy Expo has primarily been here on the school side, helping out with setup and stuff like that. I never really showed, but years ago I did come. I've seen some shows, and I love looking at good dairy cattle. So if we want to go around here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kylie Conine, and I am a junior this year majoring in dairy science. Within AWA, I serve as the 2023-2024 House Assistant, and kind of my participation in World Dairy Expo is a completely opposite side. Yes, as a student, you're required to work X number of hours. However, I do a lot of my hours for both Badger Dairy Club and Collegiate Farm Bureau ahead of time, as typically during World Dairy Expo, both in high school and now I have worked for different various strings. More as string help in preparing animals for the show itself, and then also start being an exhibitor myself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amanda Bender. I'm currently a sophomore with a major in plant pathology, and I am the AWA Sentinel this year. My involvement in World Dairy Expo started with FFA throughout high school and then sort of moved into, again, the college side of it all, working with the business aspects and just getting my hours in throughout the time.
All right, hello everyone, I'm Brianna Wanick. I'm a senior studying dairy science with a certificate in environmental studies. I am the activities chair at AWA, and this year for Expo, I was a science chair, but in the past, I've been the cheese stand chair. I started going to Expo as a high schooler just on FFA day, and yeah, that evolved into me becoming cheese stand chair and spending the majority of my time at Expo.
All right. Well, I think cumulatively we've kind of addressed how our roles have changed since starting college. Some people on the FFA side, like for Kylie and I, definitely was not involved with FFA, our transition into World Dairy Expo. But how have the clubs here at Madison evolved your time here, if that's, you know, showing or being involved on, like I said, the club level with helping out, set up, stuff like that?
So I joined CFB and BDC last year as a wee little freshman, and I think joining it on the side of not being in dairy science or animal science, it was quite a jump. I showed throughout high school, but it was only pigs. I was never really involved in dairy, and CFB and BDC really gave me that push to start looking more into World Dairy Expo, and this year I served as the business chair for Expo. And I think they really just helped me see that side of dairy, which is something that's not common to me or my background.
I think for me personally, I'm originally from California. And so I remember attending World Dairy Expo in like high school and even before my mom allowed me to work for a string, kind of seeing the involvement, not necessarily of Collegiate Farm Bureau, but a really strong presence of Badger Dairy Club at World Dairy Expo. And since coming to school, obviously, it's a very much shared responsibility between the two clubs as to providing workers, and then also in the function and organization of the cheese stand chair. And I obviously, Brianna, you can talk about that. But especially getting involved in both Badger Dairy Club and Collegiate Farm Bureau, for me personally, Expo was a really nice kind of start to freshman year, because when you come in as a freshman, and especially for me coming in and not knowing anyone, getting involved in those two clubs, even in the preparatory work before Expo, really gave you the opportunity to meet other people and get involved.
Yeah, I would say my freshman year, there was no Expo because I came in during 2020. So I really didn't have that experience coming into it. At the end of 2020, it was pretty much one of the cheese stand chairs who didn't really get to do anything that year. He was like, hey, you should do this. And I was like, okay. So I filled out the application and voila, I was cheese stand chair. So I kind of got to get immersed into it right away with all the planning and behind the scenes stuff that goes into that. So I definitely did not get to experience the normal BDC work hours of the 25 hours a week, because it was pushing more around the 60. So, but I would say it was a lot of fun. and I cherish all of it. And same with CFB, because it basically goes hand in hand with BDC and CFB at Expo.
Yeah. Kylie, do you have something?
I was going to say, it's kind of funny, Brianna, that you bring up like the whole 60 hours. Totally, there's the kids that come and kind of put forth their minimum hours. I mean, obviously you're required to put forth hours for the club, but then also taking into considerations the people that work on grounds. And especially as an exhibitor and working in a string, I'm there 4 o'clock in the morning and not leaving until 9, 10 o'clock at night. And same can be said about all of the BDC and CFB members that work grounds and milk houses. Obviously they're much longer than your typical 25 required hours of Expo. Really, Expo is a lifestyle. And for those 2 weeks, honestly, for even the month leading up to that, in terms of all of the preparation that goes into it, and then especially the weeks of, and it's just unfortunate that it always lines up with exam time.
Yeah, I agree. Brianna, I had that same experience that you did, starting in a year of COVID where everything was shut down, and it was really tough because all of the clubs at that point as well were all virtual. So we, or at least specifically for myself, we went into our sophomore year of college practically not meeting anyone. Like everything that was like, this name that was on a Zoom call, I now get to meet this person. And like you said previously, Kylie, to start the year with World Dairy Expo, you meet so many people, and now I love, as a senior, I can look back on even this year's time at World Dairy Expo. I was able to walk the barns and see so many faces that I recognized either through Badger Dairy Club or Collegiate Farm Bureau or through AWA in particular. And those are people I can wave at and be like, oh my goodness, I'm so happy to see these people. Like, they're in the same boat as me and they're working so hard, and it's so fun that we're experiencing this all together. And like I said, we're at the end of that week, we're like, okay, I've had enough of Brianna. Maybe for me, no. I could have endless amount of Brianna. But just as an example, I get to the end of the week and I'm ready to not see people anymore. But it's still nice that, like, I can now look back a couple weeks out and be like, this was awesome, and I love that Brianna was by my side and these clubs made that possible for us. So I know, like I just said, AWA has been great for me in that connection. How has AWA helped you guys with World Dairy Expo in particular?
AWA was actually how I got my internship my freshman year with ABS Global. A former AWA member and current alumni, Kylie Cook, or who's now Kylie Anderson, kind of helped me get that internship role. But then kind of leading off of that, I've continued my internship with ABS. And so obviously every year St. Jacobs does the donut cart for the exhibitors in the morning. And although typically I take off the 2 weeks of Expo, it's always fun to see kind of the old or the alumni involved who are currently employed at ABS still actively participate at World Dairy Expo. And same thing goes for leading in the judging contest. There's numerous alumni who help facilitate the judging contest, either through an official getting animals or also helping to lead in the contest. And that's just another connection there.
I think a big thing for me was the parking spot for my minivan throughout the week. But no, I'm kidding. AWA, though, was really my way of a stress relief moment. I was only here, you know, 7 hours at night for a nap, but dinner was always made. I could come home, talk to the girls, debrief about the whole day. It was just super nice to be able to come home and not have to worry and hold my breath for those 7 hours. And the girls in the house who aren't involved in CFB or BDC or aren't working the hours that chairs or grounds people are working, it's really beneficial to just come home and not have to talk about Expo for those couple hours. So it was really just helpful to come home, relax a little bit, and get right back into it the next day.
I would say just the girls in AWA, the ones that weren't really involved in Expo, having classes with them and them being like, okay, like, here's what you missed. Here's like just even the paper worksheets, here's some handouts, here's the stuff that you physically could not get because you're at Expo. That was really nice. And then of course, lovely Marianne provided us with some delicious mashed or cheesy potatoes. So mm-hmm. That was a good day, and I really look forward to that.
I was very jealous that I did not get cheesy potatoes, but I am looking forward to her mac and cheese tonight.
She was Sloppy Joe's too, right?
Because I did think Sloppy Joe's.
Four Sloppy Joe's that day. They were so good. What has been your favorite thing about World Dairy Expo? If it's not a memory in particular, like, what's your favorite thing that you guys have gained from World Dairy Expo?
I think my favorite thing, honestly, I remember coming to World Dairy Expo in, like, 2019. At that point, I would have been, I think, a junior in high school. Didn't really know where I was going to go to school. And for me, especially that particular year in World Dairy Expo, it gave me the opportunity to meet some former researchers that were here in faculty at UW-Madison. It gave me the opportunity to meet other members in Badger Dairy Club. That was the first year that I got to work a string, and working a string gives you so many connections with meeting producers from all over the country. But I think for me personally, it's just kind of the global headquarters that Madison, Wisconsin, and in particular World Dairy Expo is, because it brings in so many people from so many different backgrounds. And even just walking around to the trade show gives you an opportunity to see like what new technology and advancements are out there in the industry. But I think more so World Dairy Expo, and kind of why it's important for me, is all of the connections that I've been able to make with people, whether they're exhibitors or not.
Yeah, going off of that, I think the bonds were the number one reason why I kept coming back to Expo. I felt like working cheese stand was a time where you can talk about random things and nobody bats an eye at you, and you can make fun of each other, but in a loving way. But just those bonds and those inside jokes that you make throughout those 2 weeks is the reason that it keeps me coming back.
Yeah. Speaking from a senior standpoint, just like our first year, and Anna, you can attest to this, coming into Expo, it was absolute chaos, I would say, just because nobody knew what they were doing. We'd been off for a year, but now looking back, like this senior year, and looking back at the progress we've made, is just like really full circle, you know? Like, it's like, okay, we started from here where we knew nothing, and now we're all gen chairs, we're all chairs, and have control, and it was just, Expo wasn't as stressful as it had been in the past, and it's just really nice to see that. And then like just to get to watch the freshmen come in and them not really know anything, but by the end of the week they were okay.
So the
I like watching people fail.
The self growth that those freshmen go through, especially for the ones that like turn in a completely blank schedule and then are like jaw dropped when they get it back and everything is scheduled.
Yeah, Expo is probably my favorite time of year, just because you do see people grow. Like even just my last year's cheese stand chair last year, for the first time I met Caitlin, and then like seeing Caitlin work this year, completely different people. I think even just as a chair, it really grew her, so it's fun to see people grow in the positions that they're put in.
Yeah, and I like that kids, if they're maybe not a chair or someone in a leadership role, they're still able to take on a lot of work. So like Sophie Green, she's my roommate this year. Last year when she filled out her schedule, she was one of those people that left a ton available and got scheduled for all of it. But she was so involved and was able to get a lot of experience. And now this year was a chair. So those kids that are able to leave with more experience and have a clue of what they want to do and if they want to be involved, I think is really awesome. And like last year in particular, we were riding around on a golf cart, Brianna, and I don't remember how late at night it was, but I think I was losing my marbles. Like we were saying the funniest stuff and we still talk about it, like the funny stuff we said. And it's really nice to have that time with each other where you're all kind of losing your marbles, but it's just so much fun. I also really appreciated the connections we got from Expo staff in particular. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could go back to any of the staff members right now and tell them, like, I would like to do this possibly next year. In my case, obviously not. I'm a senior. But, like, last year, if I were like, okay, I would really like to, you know, ideally do this next year, they would completely support me and believe in me, and we would work on something together, and they're just awesome resources to have. In particular, Katie Schmidt, she left. She now works Nebraska, Kansas?
CDCB.
Yes, yes. She does not work at Expo any longer. You know, broken heart there. I'm really sad. But she still, you know, felt the connection enough with me to message me through LinkedIn a job opportunity, and she's like, I think you'd be a great fit for this. And it made me feel so good as a person to, go back and have that connection and be like, oh my goodness, like Katie thought so much of me from just those 2 weeks we worked together that she could send me this job opportunity and feel like I'm a good fit for that. So I feel like anyone that's in this role, that if they work a lot of hours, if they're a chair, whatever it happens to be, they could make really great connections with those staffers and everyone else involved and walk away feeling like they've got a new friend. And I definitely also had that through some of the volunteers that they have. Pat, Pete, and Kevin, they're the Hoffman brothers.
We love the Hoffman brothers.
They're my favorite people ever. And I really hope for some odd reason they're listening to this and they hear that I talk about them. But I love them so much. If you're out there listening, I love you guys. But those are connections I wouldn't have normally had. And now that I do have, I'm so happy that I do. So it's great stuff like that that I think people don't anticipate getting out of the role. And they definitely leave with, you know, a better person having had that. So I think possibly working off of that, what is your favorite memory in particular about Expo? I've kind of talked about some of mine, but what do you guys have that you look back on fondly often? Because I do that so much with my Expo memories.
Oh, I've got one right off the bat. Okay, so I was a business chair, meaning that I drove my minivan around all the time. And one day we were going to unload Purple Cow. And I was like, I'll take the golf cart with everyone on it. So we piled. Now, if you're listening and you're on Expo staff, I didn't actually do this. But there was about 12 of us on a golf cart. I was driving. It was all of the grounds guys and Caitlin, the cheese stand chair. And I was like, okay, let's go. And they're like, we're headed over to X Hall. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll take us on a fun route. We'll go by the milk house. We'll get there eventually. And I ended up hopping a curb. A couple people fell off, but it was all good. We all made it through. But from that point on, I was never allowed to drive a golf cart ever again. And yeah, we still talk about it to this day because I can drive a minivan like a mad woman, but the golf carts beat me up.
I don't think this is necessarily my favorite memory, but it's definitely like a memory that is ingrained in my mind. And I want to apologize to all of the AWA alumni who would have been working World Dairy Expo as a Badger Dairy Club member back, I think, in 2017. It might not be 2017. It was whatever year that like it was the Western theme. I was exhibiting a heifer for another exhibitor from out in California, and I took out the cactus, I took out the saloon door, so like, this heifer, like, I had numerous people telling me to exit the ring with this heifer, and I just kept with it, and I'm pretty sure the heifer ended up, like, dead last. But for me, that was like my first time, even as an alternate exhibitor for somebody else, that was my first time getting to show on the colored shavings, and an animal in like a breed class. Like I had shown in showmanship, but not in a breed class. And for it just to have gone that poorly, like it's definitely, it's something that I laugh about to this day. Like the humor of that story, taking the cactus, taking the saloon out. But then still just having that drive and that passion to end up right back on those colored shavings year after year.
I think the one that always comes to my mind immediately when I think of Expo and good memories was last year when I was in the cheese stand, we had a foreign exchange student. His name was Lachlan. And you know, Anna mentioned about like getting delusional. Like this was probably the Thursday of Expo. And we were all pretty delusional at that point, including Lachlan, because the day before he spent 12 hours straight in the show ring. And then he came and he worked the entire time at cheese stand the next day. So we're just chatting, we're playing music or whatever. And I get this wild idea, and I talk to one of our AWA alumni now, Kenzie, and I start playing music from Australia, because that's where he was from. I was playing didgeridoo music. Instead of playing didgeridoo music right away, I start playing Austrian music, and we all just kind of stood there. Lachlan was just kind of looking at me, but as soon as you got the didgeridoo music on, Lachlan was like crying. He had to leave the cheese stand because he's laughing so hard. I was on the floor. People were radioing for cheese or for grilled cheeses, and I literally could not answer because I was laughing so hard. And for whatever reason, even though it's super small, it will not seem funny to literally anyone else. And it's one of those, oh, you had to be there moments. It's probably my favorite memory of Expo.
I think my memories are not maybe working. Like, I love working in the cheese stand and being able to see so many people and, like, flipping grilled cheeses and leaving, and all my shirts are stained with butter. But some of my other memories are, like I've said, like, the friendships I've made. Like, I can walk the barns and I can have so many people that I now recognize that I probably wouldn't have recognized 3 years ago. And those connections, I feel like, can last forever. And some of that is through AWA that I've made those, and a lot of it is through Expo. And it's so nice to go through and be able to see some of the best cows in the world and work with some of the coolest people, hear the coolest stories, and, like I said, be a better person because of it. So my memories are very broad, but so many of them from Expo are so great.
Kind of going off that point, Anna, and bringing us back to one of the other points that we made earlier about, like, our favorite thing or, like, why Expo is important. Those connections that you, the new connections you make, and then reconnecting with those connections you made years before. Like, there was a couple people, like an AWA alumni that I reconnected with, who's been kind of my unofficial mentor throughout college, Julie Larson. And just kind of talking to her while we were in the X Hall, she was asking me about, oh, did you ever find an internship you liked last summer? What do you plan on doing this summer? What do you plan on doing when you graduate? And then not even just her, just walking around X Hall and just meeting people and being like, hey, I'm Brianna, blah, 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 this is what I'm going to do. And then they ask questions, and I had a couple people that are like, oh, send me your resume so if something comes up that you talked about and I can direct people into your direction now because I made this connection, I have your resume type deal. So it's making those new connections and reconnecting with the olds that I think is really important about Expo.
Another really big aspect, like, why we're on this theme of both connecting with alumni, connecting with industry, the National Dairy Shrine has their banquet always during World Dairy Expo. And I know the past 2 years I've always been, like, racing in and out of the banquet, but it's fun to see, like, how many past AWA alumni are involved within that organization, both in the leadership manner and then also kind of how they're able to give back and benefit the students. Like, I know this year there was, I believe, 6 or 7 AWA students that all received scholarships from National Dairy Shrine. So that just, again, is another opportunity for kind of making those connections that benefit the actives and then also the connection between actives and alumni alike.
Yeah, I think it's really good to see the actives involved in so many different aspects of Expo. So, like we've been talking about, a lot of it is working with Expo and being on that side of, like, maintaining the grounds or running the cheese stand, and there's people on the other side that are exhibiting, and then you even get to, like, that trade show hall, people that are working booths that you recognize from years past, and also getting scholarships. You recognize so many girls in that, and then also, like, showing or, like, judging, excuse me. We just had 2 AWA girls this year that placed top 10. It's so awesome to see how Madison kids are able to have such a diverse role in World Dairy Expo that you may not get in any other university, and how much passion everyone has for dairy. I just love being able to go through and see, like, oh yeah, like, there's Elise, she's placing really well, or Nicole got the scholarship, that's so awesome. And maybe they're not going to brag about it and boast about it, but they should be. Like, that's awesome stuff. And I think it's great that, you know, maybe our alumni are looking back and seeing, like, that's an AWA sister right now. That's awesome. I'm so glad I'm a part of this crew of women that are now alumni that are still carrying on some of the stuff that we did and are still passionate about the dairy industry. Before we get too far off of our favorite things, you guys need to tell me what your favorite grilled cheese flavor is. Mine is just anything that's hot. I have eaten so many grilled cheeses in my life. I will never turn one down. I think that cheddar maple one is pretty good, which is kind of controversial. People are very mixed signals on that, but what do you guys, what is your favorite flavor?
I would have to agree. Like, I very much just, like, if I'm running animals to and from the ring, I will sneak by and try and snag a grilled cheese. But that maple bacon one was really good this year. More so than grilled cheese, I am a shake person day in, day out. Yes. Like, I, even if it is melted and it is literally, like, just chocolate milk, I will gladly take any leftovers that are put aside.
Oh, man. I feel like I worked the cheese stand more this year than I did last year, which is a bit odd to say. But I think my favorite had to be the Munster. But I do know Alyssa Westra came up with some really good combinations throughout the week. The maple bacon cheddar day, she added ham to it, I think, at one point. And then for dinner, she added, like, half the maple bacon and some American. And it was always very interesting to see her favorite flavors of the day because those were always the most interesting.
I have to say mine is literally any of the spicy ones. I really like the spicy cheeses, and I also happen to add ham to those as well sometimes. And then, but my always go-to favorite is Munster. Like, at home, I've stopped using American or cheddar. I only use Munster in my grilled cheeses. So if somebody, if there's any cheesemakers out there listening, please make a spicy Munster. I would pay lots of money for that. I don't even know if it's possible, but please, somebody try it.
I can't do the spicy stuff. It's too spicy for me.
I just love them. So
I can't do
good.
The spicy either.
Spicy yeah. grilled cheese and chocolate milk is chef's kiss.
Yeah. Sorry to, you know, bring back this. I do have a good memory. Just seeing Billy whipping out those buttered breads. No one is more passionate about buttering bread than Bill. He was so quick with it, and everyone past that, they're like, oh, I'm the best, I'm the best. I'm like, you could never be Bill. No one will be Billy.
There will never be a better butterer than Billy. He was the cheese stand king and the cheese stand, like, cheap butterer. Literally anything that has to do with cheese stand, Billy is beyond better than everybody else.
Yes. Yeah.
Were you ever, like, splattered with the butter when he was throwing?
Oh. No. And see, the thing is, he wasn't rude about it. This year, I would tell the boys, like, stop throwing it so far. I can't reach it because I'm really short. And they're like, hey, hey. And they kept throwing it far. I'm like, stop doing that. And Bill is a machine. He's like, you need it closer? Here, I'll put it in your face. Like, he was about getting those grilled cheeses out efficiently. And he, like, oh, I love you, Bill.
He commanded the cheese sandwich. Yes. None other. Yes. There's a couple other memories I will not share publicly, but are really funny. Another, if you had to, you gotta be there for that.
Yes, yeah.
There are definitely a lot of expo stories better left untold.
Yes. Yeah, and I think if you ask, you know, current alumni, like, oh, how was your expo? They would also have a story or two that should not be shared with the public. But that's the good thing about expo is everyone dies with these memories and they never get in trouble for it. So.
And I think that's what makes it so special and why being part of clubs like AWA and BDC and CFP are so special, because you will have those memories and those bonds with people, even if they are a little strange, and that is for life. 50 years down the road, we'll be able to talk about this, and we will still laugh, even though, like, the general public will have no idea that's going on, but inside our little BDC heads, we will be laughing about it.
Fun fact, when I was digging through a closet at the Dairy Cattle Center last year, I came across some aprons that I'm pretty sure are, like, early 2000 model from Badger Dairy Club for the grilled cheese stand at Expo.
I think we need to bring those back.
I think we do, too.
I ruined so many shirts with that butter.
Fun fact, I have one of those hanging up in my room right now.
It was one of the wills.
Or BDC superlative.
Superlative.
Mm. See, another memory that people are just going to, you know, live the rest of their life with, and people are going to be like, Brina, you're crazy. She's like, no.
Trust me, I have a role. You got me there.
Kind of segueing into a different topic here. What do you guys wish you knew before becoming involved in World Dairy Expo? I guess on the college side here, a lot of us had experience before coming here, but
I wish I knew what class expo balance was. And even if you don't attend all of your classes, like, it's no shame in not attending all of your classes. I'll be the first to admit I don't attend all of my classes. But still knowing how to work ahead and work with your professors so that you don't get behind, but then you can still be successful both in academics and then also be involved.
Yeah, I think definitely the the class and expo schedule was my hardest thing as a freshman. Like, Brianna, I went in and I was like, ah, free schedule, I'm fine, who needs class? And 76 hours later, as a freshman, I was like, that doesn't really work well. So I think the hardest thing coming in was understanding that if you don't have that time off, you're going to be scheduled, which is a good thing, but I wish I knew more about what it did to my academics.
It doesn't, for clarification, it does not tank or sign a death sentence. Like, I remember my freshman year getting, like, a C on my chemistry 103 exam the week of expo. I thought it was the end of the world. I was going to drop out of that class. And by the end of the semester, like, you can redeem yourself. I ended with an A in 103. It's possible. Mm-hmm. It's just going to make things a lot harder if you don't prepare for it in advance.
Yes, my academics did not die, and I was fine. But it was just, it was a shocker. It kind of set me back for a second, and I was like, whoa.
Poor little baby freshman.
Exactly.
Don't know what hit them.
Exactly. But now look at me, I learned, and I'm still here, and I'm still going to UW-Madison. So it's fine.
Yeah, I would say that I personally cannot attest to the expo scheduling, just because when you're a chair, you don't have a true set schedule. You just got to be there. But I definitely would say, just hearing from other freshmen, just learning that balance, learning which classes that, okay, I absolutely cannot skip this class, but yeah, I could probably not be in this class for 2 weeks and be okay. And like Kylie said, just talking to your professors, getting ahead of it right away. After that first CFB meeting, BDC meeting, getting in contact with the advisors and you're like, hey, can you write me a letter saying like, this is why I have to skip class? And the advisors are willing to work. And if you're in a Cal's class, it kind of helps because they already know what expo is. I'm not saying it's helping you get out of class. I'm just saying it helps that they know what expo is. Because with my environmental studies certificate, I've taken a lot of classes that aren't in Cal's. And I get some funny looks and like, I've never even heard of this. I'm like, I don't know where you've been for the past many years because it's here. It's big, and I feel like you guys should know, and I'm going to be there because if you say no.
So. Yeah, regardless if you say no is the key word, it's just helpful to have them on board.
I think it's kind of fun when you can talk about expo, and some professors are like, oh my goodness, that sounds so fun. Like, they
such
don't
a great opportunity.
Is, they're super excited that someone's taking that on. And I really wish everyone was forced to go to expo and even just see it, like not be on the backside where it's 5 a.m. and you're placing stuff out, or it's 10 p.m. and you're also placing stuff. Like, I think if people just came and saw what it was, they would have so much more of an appreciation for everything that goes on in the ag industry, because a lot of people are like, farms are just cows and that's all it is. And there are so many deeper assets that go towards, you know, a great successful farm. And I just wish people knew about that. But
I would say, even like, not even just talking to your professors, but explaining to them why you personally think that it's a good reason and why the trade-offs are okay. Like with my Art 101 professor, my Art 100 professor, I was explaining to him, like, yeah, it sucks having to miss class, but I feel like I benefit more being at expo. I make more connections. I learn more life skills that I'm going to learn in school. And he totally agrees. Like, I have no experience with expo. He's like, just from what you've been explaining, it totally makes sense why you do miss class for these many days and why this is such a high priority on your list.
Right. And I think scheduling like that is really, really important. Just understanding, obviously, what we've already said, how you need to balance your stuff. Like Brianna had mentioned, we both started our first expo as chairs, so it's kind of one of those, you're going to be here, you're not going to get a schedule. And I think what I, looking back now as my wise senior, whatever, I look back and I'm like, man, I wish I had more patience, because being in a leadership role and being, you know, there from 5 a.m. till 8 p.m. or 10 p.m, whatever it happens to be, I got really quick to get angry at people, and I really wish I was a lot more patient, and I heard people out because I got so snappy and I look back and I'm like, man, like you should have done that. Which of course hindsight's always 20/20, but I wish I told myself, like, you need to calm down. It's all going to work out in the end, because at the end of the day, I can get as stressed as I want, but the show is still going to go on and people are still going to enjoy it. And there's only so much I can control. So
I think that's another good point to say about Expo is you learn a lot about yourself in two short weeks, especially coming in as a freshman or not even a freshman. It's your first Expo. You learn a lot about yourself, especially as your first Expo as a chair. You learn how much you can handle. You learn what, like, hey, this was way too much for me. I cannot do that like this again. Or, hey, I was okay. I could probably add a little bit more to my plate. You just learn a lot your first Expo. You learn your own personality traits. You learn how you mesh with others, how you mesh with other personality traits. You just learn a lot of good experience and skills that you can use in the future when you go to jobs, when you're applying to jobs, when you're sitting there in that interview. You're talking with your potential future boss, your potential future coworkers, and if you can kind of get the sense of, hey, I don't think that our personalities are going to clash right, or they're going to clash really badly, you can rethink. Maybe I might continue to look for other jobs where I might fit in better just how my personality is.
Definitely agree with that. Does anyone have anything they would like to add to wrap up the episode here about Expo, AWA, anything?
Become a chair. Yeah. There's no other way. No other way to enjoy Expo so much. Just kidding.
Working your butt off for 2 weeks. Yeah, I would say if you're a freshman or a potential freshman, don't be scared. Just jump right in. Jump with 2 feet. I would say by your sophomore year, be applying to chair positions. And that's one of the biggest problems we have is getting people to become chairs, and I'll never understand it. Because at your first year as a chair, once you're done, you're like, all right, guess I'm being a chair next year. You just love it so much. So if you're a freshman, don't be scared.
I'll just be an advocate for even those non-chairs out there. and I'm just going to say, like, nobody experiences World Dairy Expo like a UW-Madison student. Whether it's the exhibitors, we fall into multifaceted categories, whether it be an exhibitor, whether it be being a chair, whether it be working the cheese stand, whether it be working other avenues. So really no one experiences, and whatever way that you fit into World Dairy Expo, you're playing an essential role.
Yeah, I feel like even just if you're at Expo and you see someone wearing a BDC shirt, or you see someone wearing a CFB shirt or a chair jacket or whatever it might be,
a walkie-talkie,
just don't be afraid to walk up and ask them, hey, how's Expo been for you? Are you enjoying BDC? Are you enjoying CFB? What's it like being a chair? What are you a chair of? We like to talk to the public. We like to get our stories out. We like people to know, hey, yeah, we're UW-Madison students. We're here. We care. Ask us.
Yeah. Did you have something to add, Amanda?
Yeah, I think just going off that note, like, even if you aren't going to UW-Madison, you're not planning on applying, just going for one day. I mean, even if that's FFA day or the last day when they're picking Supreme Champion, I think just seeing the community that's built there in 1 week is just astonishing, and I think it's something that you should witness, whether that be you're coming from an agricultural background or not.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The not being afraid to take on that role, because you get so much out of it. This is such a great opportunity. Like I said, I really wish everyone had to go and experience Expo, even if it wasn't in the shoes of a Badger Dairy Club member or a Collegiate Farm Bureau member. It is just so important what World Dairy Expo does for the industry and for cows and everything. I love the experience. I wish I could work it every single year. Like, hire me back. But it's just so much fun.
PSA to all Expo hiring people out there. Anna wants a job.
Yeah, exactly. If you guys happen to create a new job and you need to fill it, I am going to graduate with no job. But anyways, thank you guys so much. This has been great to reminisce on our time with World Dairy Expo, both as Collegiate Farm Bureau members, AWA members, and everything in between. Thank you guys on the other side for tuning into this episode of Ag Chat, a podcast brought to you by the Association of Women in Agriculture. If you'd like to learn more about our girls here, follow us on our Facebook and Instagram at the Association of Women in Agriculture at UW-Madison. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.